Not every episode, an event that occurred during the 40 years when the Bnei Israel were wandering in the Midbar in the wilderness, is recorded in the Torah. After all, the Chumash is not a storybook. It's not a history book. And therefore, every event that we learn, read about, must have relevance, not just for them, but something which can apply in our lives, in the here and now today. For the Torah to dedicate an entire Parsha, and to even to name a Parsha after a Rasha, Korach, there must be something of value for us all to take. The Pasuk tells us that Korach was an angry man, that he went to Moshe, to Aharon, and he said, Rav lechem, ki chol eida kulam kadoshim, v'socham Hashem, madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. It's too much for you, for the entire assembly, all of them are holy, Hashem is among them. Why do you exalt yourself over the congregation of Hashem? So much so that Rashi tells us that kulam shamu devarim b'Sinai mipi agvura. Every one of us heard the Torah. We were all at Har Sinai not too long ago. So why would you exalt yourselves and to create these positions of leadership? Why don't you share it with others? Korach seemingly has a legitimate point, a legitimate claim. Hashem gave the Torah to everyone. Therefore, we should all be engaged in some way to be able to participate in it. The Torah should not just be for the elite. Not only this, but Korach was disappointed. He was disappointed that he was not chosen as the Nasi, as a leader over the nation. And in fact, Rashi tells us, Achi Abba Arba Hayu, that the person that you chose for the position, Elitzafan ben Uziel, he was less qualified than myself. After all, Mi Roy Litel Eshashnia Lo Ani, shouldn't I be the one that to take over this position? Shani ben Yitzhar. I am Korach, the son of Yitzhar, ben Kohat, ben Levi. And because of this, Shusheni l'Amram, he was the second born to Amram. So I understand why maybe you and Moshe have positions of leadership. But if it's because of your connection to Amram, then in fact I should be the one chosen for some position of leadership over Elitzafan ben Uziel. Another very valid point. Not only that, but Korach, studying his CV, his resume, one would certainly feel that he's qualified for this position. He was a Talmud Chacham. He came from a distinguished family. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chela tells us that he possessed enormous wealth, so much, says the Gemara, that when Yosef was able to accrue tremendous wealth in the days of Mitzrayim, during the years of the famine, he had three treasuries that he hid, and one of them was discovered by Korach. Korach was one of the wealthiest people in the world, making Bill Gates pale in comparison to the wealth that Korach had. He was so wealthy, the Gemara in fact tells us, that he used to have white mules. And these animals carried the keys to his treasury. Not the wealth itself, but the keys to unlock the safes. Not only that, Korach was clearly scholarly, knowledgeable of the material, the texts, presenting himself in a very logical fashion, articulating his questioning. Why then did Korach not receive anything? Why did Moshe overlook him as a credible candidate for a position of leadership? What's even more striking is the way Moshe Rabbeinu responds to this line of questioning. He doesn't. The Torah tells us, V'yishma Moshe, V'yupo aponav, that Moshe heard what was said, but he didn't answer. Instead, he falls on his face. And in fact, we find later on, in Pasuk Tetvav, that he turns to Hashem and discusses why he should not listen and accept the offerings of Korach and his assembly. Al tefen el minchasam. Please, Hashem, do not turn to their gift offering. Why? Lo chamor echad mehem nosasi, lo hariosi es achad mehem. Because I did not even take a single donkey, and therefore do not listen to Korach. It's a very difficult line of reasoning. Why would we say that this is a valid reason for Hashem not to accept this gift offering? Because Moshe never took a donkey? What does that mean? How does this have any connection to the claim of Korach that he felt that he was slighted, that he deserved to be a leader, that he was ignored? What does this have anything to do with anything? That Moshe had not even taken a single animal, not even a donkey. I believe what Moshe is saying is that he's trying to teach us what sets him apart from Korach v'chol adaso, Korach and his whole assembly. Moshe is teaching us to be a leader, to be in a position of prominence, to be involved in the Jewish community in general. One cannot be a taker. Rather, one must be a giver. Which was Korach? Was Korach a giver, or was he a taker? Clearly, Korach was a taker. How do I know this? From the very first word of our parsha. Vayikach Korach. It says that Korach took, clearly telling us that Korach was only focused on himself. What can I get out of the deal? What's in it for me? Says Rashi, what does this mean, Vayikach, that he took? Lokach es atzmo letzad echad. Lios nechlak mishar ha'eda. See, Korach did not focus on what he could give to the community. Instead, he was poresh min tzibur. He took himself to a side. He separated himself from the needs of the community because he was only focused on what he can get out of the deal. He was a vayikach. He was a taker. So much so that the Marsha tells us the significance of why these animals that were holding the keys of Korach were white is because these animals, comparable to a pit bull, anyone who would come anywhere near them would get a kick. No one would even be able to touch those animals, let alone to put their fingertips on the keys of the treasury. That is how paranoid and possessed Korach was, that he would not want anyone to even think for a second to come close to a penny that belongs to him. A complete taking by Yikach mentality. How about Moshe Rabbeinu? Was Moshe a giver, or was he a taker? Clearly, Moshe is responding to Hashem that unlike Korach, who is not the proper model for leadership, he is not a taker, but rather a giver. Al tefen el minchasam. Hashem, please do not accept them as leaders. because this is not the model of an individual who cares about a community. They only think about themselves. As for me, I, says Moshe, Luchamor Echad Mehem Nasasi, I am the correct model, for my purpose is not to take, but rather only to give. This was the message of Moshe Rabbeinu. Aharon as well. As the Mishnah tells us that we should be of the students of Aharon. Oiv Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oiv Asabrios from the Karbon Torah. Aharon was a giver. He gave his very self in Avodas Hashem to help other people, to do whatever he could for the benefit of his Jewish community. It's very fascinating that we find the name of Korach. Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi. And on this, Rashi tells us something fascinating. Rashi says, V'lo Hizkir ben Yaakov, that Yaakov's name is not mentioned. And Rashi tells us, because Yaakov did not want to be part of this machlokas. Perhaps there could be another reason why Yaakov did not want to be connected to a Vayikach Korach. Because Yaakov, in his life, did take. According to his brother Esav, he took something which did not belong to him. The firstborn right. That he stole the brachot from his father Yitzchak while Esav was hunting for gain. And therefore, we must remove Yaakov's name from Vayikach Korach so that no one should think, do you know where this taking mentality came from? It came from Yaakov Avinu. Chas v'shalom. Yaakov also was not a taker. He was an individual also, similar to Moshe and to Aaron, who would give. And therefore, let us not include his name among Vayikach Korach. We find later on in our Parsha the punishment of Korach. And we're familiar with Tiftach Aretz Espiha, that the earth swallowed him alive. V'tivl Osam Esbotehem, not only swallowing him, but in addition to that, also their households, there's Kol Adama Shel Korach, all the people who were with Korach, there's Kol HaRechush, and all of their wealth, every penny was swallowed up. Can you imagine? Lahavdil, the wealthiest people in the United States today, that when they die, we take their billions of dollars of assets and we throw it into the Pacific Ocean. Do you have any idea how much benefit, how many yeshivot, how many institutions would be able to be assisted? Struggling schools, struggling synagogues, people who are starving in the streets that could be easily sustained by those billions of dollars. To throw them into the Pacific Ocean is beyond Bal Tashchis. It's insane. It makes no sense. Korach, as we established, was one of the wealthiest people to ever walk the face of this earth. What's going on? Why would we have the rechush, all the possessions, every penny swallowed into the ground? Wouldn't it have made so much more sense? Korach, okay, he was a Russia. Let him die. But let's at least now benefit from the money that he had. And I believe a possible explanation is that there are people in this world that are philanthropic, that will give continuously. They have an open hand and an open heart. There's another madrega, that after 120 years, a person may have been stingy, but what can I do? I can't bring the money to the grave. It'll have no purpose, no benefit. And therefore, after one passes, I might as well have it donated, given away to someone else, so that the next generation will be able to enjoy the blessings that I had in my lifetime. But there's another level. And that is a level of a person that not only does not want to give in their lifetime, but would not want anyone to ever benefit from anything that they ever had. I would rather be buried alive with everything that I had than for you to be able to enjoy my possessions. The fact that Korach was swallowed up at Kol Rechush with all his money was not a punishment. Because if it was a punishment, it would be punishing us. It would be punishing the people that survived. Those who did not follow Korach and his assembly, the tzaddikim. And therefore, it certainly cannot be any form of an onesh of a punishment. But rather, it's a fact. It's a reality that Korach was such a person that would never want anyone to take a single thing from him, that he would rather have it swallowed up in the ground with him, so that no one should ever enjoy a single thing that he should never give. And I believe, to take it even a step further, the fact that all of his possessions were swallowed up explains the very essence of the human being that Korach was. That he was a Vayikach Korach. That this is what he would have wanted. That nothing should ever be given. That he should only take. This is a tremendous message. A message not only for those in the highest levels of power and leadership. It's a message for us all. It's a message for those that are graduating. For those who graduate and are now moving on in their lives, experience the commencement ceremony in which they're now beginning something new. Because as they were in school, as they were learning, it was primarily taking, acquiring knowledge. But now, it's to give back. Now that you have finished your taking, now you should go into the world, into the community, and to give back. It's an extremely important message for us all. Not only those who are graduating, but even those who have graduated many, many years back, to realize the mentality of a Korach, the mentality of a taker, and instead to emulate the great ways of Moshe Rabbeinu and his brother Aharon, that we should only think about giving, of assisting Klal Yisrael, helping our communities, helping each other.